Hey, what up, boxing fans? This is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Wednesday afternoon. Got a little time here before I head off and get some stuff done. Last night didn't work for me. You know how that goes. Life gets in the way. Anyway, we have some things to discuss, though. Okay. Canelo Alvarez took care of Jaime Munguia. Inoue dropped, but then stopped Nery. Very brutally, go figure. Anyway, doing his thing, and he is still here. Just silly stuff about, you know, drug tests and stuff like that. And man, if he would get under Bada, and if he ever fought here, well, he has fought here more than one time, I may add. But anyway, we'll get into that. So yeah, we're definitely gonna start with recap. Obviously, this weekend, Lomachenko returns. It's been about a year since he fought Devin Haney to a close decision. It was a fight that warranted a rematch, I thought. He's in there with Kambosos. I feel like people are kind of doing what they did with Munguia against Canelo, an aging guy, and putting that with Kambosos. Now, Kambosos obviously has a win over Teofimo Lopez, has a better resume, win, lose, or draw. On average, because, you know, he's fought some quality fighters, but I just don't get this one. Unless you think Lomachenko is just completely done. He's not a guy that blows up between weight or between, fights, really. I know he's been out for a while, but he just was in a competitive ass fight. So I think some folks are like, I don't know, maybe they don't like him. Maybe they're just trying to call an upset, whatever it is. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, Loma would have to be far past it. I don't think Loma's in his 100% prime anymore. That's established, but neither is Canelo. But yeah, I'm just some of the things I'm hearing, it's just like, geez. Anyway, sounds like he has a fight lined up. Speaking of fights lined up, does Canelo have a fight lined up for September? Is it as easy as, well, it's going to be Berlanga, because he actually wanted to fight Berlanga first before Munguia. That was the reports anyway, a couple months back. I don't know. You know, I hope not. But once again, it's Canelo. He can do whatever the hell he wants to. Since we last spoke, Ryan Garcia popped on a banned substance. There were two drugs in the report. We now have information. And it wasn't like a, well, none of this is final anyway, but the other report, as far as the other drug reported on there, was still in the process of it. So it wasn't officially that he had, but he had two different tests with a banned substance. We'll get into some, you know, information about that, and I'll give my thoughts on that. You know, May 22nd is going to be a key date because that's the B sample. I'm not a big fan of most fighters that, you know, just say a bunch of silly stuff when it comes to this stuff. Whether you're a fighter or fan or whatever, Ryan Garcia and other fighters I've seen. I just saw Richard Hitchens talking about this, Richardson Hitchens, saying, you know, what's the point of drug testing if they know you, you know, you have a banned test right before the fight and they let you fight. It's like, dude, you guys use Google, dude. It's free. Well, I suppose you got to pay for internet, but man, come on, dude. Like, that's not how it is. It's not, you don't pee. It's not a pregnancy test, dude. It's not like a little pee in a cup or, you know, when you see like the FBI or you know, cops bust somebody and they're trying to test if this is real cocaine or not or whatever, and it turns purple and oh yeah, it's real. It's not the same exact thing, guys. It's just getting so wild, man. But I'm just not a big fan. It's one thing to say I don't know how that got in my body, and I will prove to you that I'm not a cheat, and I'm going over my supplements right now. I've hired a team, blah blah blah. That's all legit. And you're well within your rights. You know, I don't like to jump to conclusions either. But this whole acting like he's, you know, a Black Panther, like he's, the government wants him dead and stuff like that. You know, it's just, Come on, dude. Like, this shit's getting overblown. Okay. Let's take politics out of it, because to act like it has something to do with taking a picture of Trump, then all of a sudden we got this drug test. It's just like, calm down, dude. No matter what sides you're on, and I'm not just talking Democrat or Republican, I'm just saying in general, wherever you stand politically, calm the fuck down, dude. Okay. You're like an overnight, not even an overnight activist when it comes to the causes you so claim that you support. But to me, it's just like, dude, you hear this a lot. It's not just Ryan Garcia. You're like, trust me, dude, I would never do that. Dude, it's not about trust, man. You know, it's really not. None of us really know you at all. So yeah, I'm gonna get into that a little bit, give my opinion on it. You know, talk about some potential fights coming up. We now have a date. It hasn't been announced with the fight card, but we have a date for the Armory. Oh, and Beterbiev. Beterbiev got hurt. He's going to be out for an extended period of time, it sounds like. So the Bivol fight got postponed, man. And that does suck. He did get a new opponent. Bivol did, but that just sucks, man. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropadoperadio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropadope, but download the show directly there. If you don't want to, you can find Ropadope Radio and a host of other places, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Download the podcast app, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbay, Podbean, basically Deezer. Basically just you know, Google Ropadope Radio Podcast. While you're at it, head on over to thegrillingchip.com, East Side Boxing and Field Boxing. One more thing from DirecTV Stream. It's playoff time. See the goals and buckets that will crown champions all on DirecTV Stream, plus save $30. Also, MLB in full swing. Get home field advantage, because DirecTV Stream carries the most local MLB games. So play ball. For a limited time, $98.99 for the first 3 months. The sports pack, just in general, if you sign up, is on DirecTV. That's a savings of $14.99. Choose the DirecTV streaming package that's right for you. No annual contracts, no hidden fees. And it starts at the entertainment package. Right now, there's a deal: entertainment plus sports pack, $84.98 for 3 months. That's a pretty damn good deal. Okay, let's get into some fight stuff first, right? All this news, all this talk, all this misinformation. Let's get into actual fights, right? Canelo, you know, the first couple rounds were pretty interesting, man. You know, I thought Munguia, you know, was able to land some pretty good shots. Came out and definitely bringing his jab. There was a late exchange, you know. It was a close round. I gave it to Munguia, but you could have set a late left hook. Could have stole the round for Canelo. Because you know, he was, well, one thing I'll say, he was walking forward right away. And he landed shots with both hands to the body. He wasn't gonna move all that much, just subtly. Now, the second round, I thought Canelo got off to a great start, using his jab, using his right hand, excuse me. I thought he landed the better overall shots, especially the left hook to the body. Now, Munguia, he was landing shots, a couple of nice ones, no doubt, I think midway through the round, but that was Canelo. Now, the third I gave to Munguia, a nice right hand to the head early. Then he was landing combinations to the head and body, letting his shots go. And I think there was a flurry in the last little part of the round that, even if you didn't, you know, there was a huge uppercut, a counter uppercut cut by Canelo, and some other good work by Canelo. But even if you didn't like that early work from Munguia, I thought he stole the round with the flurry late. Either way, I did jot down in three rounds, this ref needed to stay out of the shot, dude. You're going to naturally be in a shot when you're the referee. But some of these refs, dude, it's like, dude, get out of the shot, man. Then came round four, right? So we had a good start. It didn't start slow at all. Munguia, you could say, won two rounds in the first three, potentially. And he actually started really well, throwing his jabs and whatnot, in the fourth round. Also some late right hands, right? But the counter, right hand or the lead right hand, just landing flush shots was Canelo. Canelo once again working the body with both hands. And you know, Canelo, man, big right hand and a left hook, or a, was it a left hook or a left uppercut? Nice combination. Drops for the first time in his career. And we got how many of them did we get this weekend? Just on that card, I think there was three of them, Inoue as well. Down for the first time in his career, 10-8 round. And things started really opening up even more. Canelo, once again, back on his jab, left hook to the body, thudding shots in the last minute of the fifth round, sixth round. I thought the defense was starting to really kick in, you know, and on the offensive end, it was more, it's, it was starting to become a little target practice-y. You know, it's starting to become kind of target practice. Munguia had these little moments, but overall, even when, and I gave him a round later in the fight, but even when he would do these flurries, a lot of them were arm punchy, and they just, you know, Canelo's defense was blocking a lot of them. So yeah, I gave him all the way to the 10th round. I'm talking about Canelo from the fifth to the ninth. I thought he did enough in those to get the job done. You know, like I said, the jab right hand, really landed multiple right hands, and it was starting to snap the neck. Now, don't get me wrong, Munguia showed heart, dude. You know, he definitely showed heart, and it just the combination of better lands and making him miss more as the fight went on. That was probably, you know, that was probably the end of it right there. Eighth round, Canelo. Well, actually, Munguia, I thought he had these quick little combos. They weren't doing a ton of damage, but they were still kind of like making him be a little bit more honest. But the left hooks, straight right hands, the uppercuts, he was bringing it all out, dude. He really was. And, you know, heavier lands, body and head work, you know, and even when he would get these combos, Canelo, I'm talking about Munguia, Canelo would, you know, answer back right away with his combo. Now, the 10th round, you know, I just thought that it seemed like the combination of you still had Munguia moving his hands and having a good round, I thought. But it kind of felt like Canelo was taking the 10th off a little bit. Not taking any credit away, but I don't know. I gave Canelo the other two, the 11th and 12th, heavier lands. Munguia started fast in the 12th, but, you know, overall, the more powerful shots once again. 115, 112, 116, 111, 117, 110. I had it 9-3, maybe 8-4. You know, I could see 8-4 because there were some close rounds. 234 is a lot of punches landed for Canelo. 234 to 170, he threw 536, landed 44% of his overall shots, dude. And I think it was like 151 jabs or something like that to 76. So, you know, 76 jabs is actually a fair amount to land for Munguia, but man, I mean, 44% of your overall punches is, you know, pretty telling. So, did Munguia, you know, give it a go? Give it an old college try? Not to, like, you know, make it sound like he wasn't doing shit, but, you know, I thought he looked good early. And then it kind of, you know, kind of fell apart on him, obviously. But he fought good. I thought he fought pretty good, to be honest with you. I think he can hang with a variety of 168 pounders. Not all of them, obviously, but you know, I think Benavidez beats him. If in fact Benavidez is still at that weight, now that, you know, now that I think about it, but overall, I thought Canelo looked pretty damn good. And like I said, he wasn't moving as much as I thought. But then again, he didn't really have to move as much because he was in control. He was at range. His defense was there. He was very accurate, you know, the jab. When he wants to jab a bunch, he's a damn good jabber. And then, working that body. Both of them work the body fairly well, but just still not enough. That's the thing. We talked about this with Golovkin. Golovkin came in as a great body puncher to those Canelo fights, but the counter punching obviously hurts, And both Canelo and Golovkin and Munguia have great chins, but the body, I guess it's just not worth going the body on Canelo because of the counter shots. He's got a lot of power pop at this weight class. I'm not going to sit there and say he's this one punch knockout guy. Yeah, he took out a pretty damaged Kovalev and Billy Joe Saunders and Plant, whatever, but he's got plenty of pop. And so Munguia, I know Oscar De La Hoya is kind of on the side of, I remember him saying as at the post presser saying, like, well, this reminds him of Canelo and Mayweather, and he got schooled and he learned from it. I think he can learn from this. I think he, well, every fighter has limitations, obviously, but he's probably hit his peak as far as how good he's going to be. But yeah, I think he can still do plenty of damage. He's young enough, that's for sure. And like I said, it's not like he was in there just trying to survive and holding and fighting in a way where, a lot of people might be like, dude, I don't want to watch this guy, that type of thing. On the undercard, you did have William Skull take care of Hempel, or Hemphill, I think it was. And Vito Milonecki took care of Ronald Cruz, UD. And Jesus Ramos, right? Jesus Ramos, there was some good two-way stuff going on in the first couple of rounds. Ramirez was definitely working the body. And then pretty early on, I can't remember what round it was, but Ramos got a pretty bad cut above, I think it was his left eye. But one thing I'll say, he was showing more head movement, adding just slightly circling him, adding some lateral movement, some movement in general. So yeah, I kind of like what I saw. He was jabbing. He was, like I said, he was moving his head. And I'd say by maybe the seventh or eighth, you saw Gonzalez's punch rate really start to fall. Otherwise, he was really competitive in the fight. He wasn't winning many rounds by any stretch, but it was competitive, that the Gonzalez dude. And then come ninth round with like 30 seconds left, a left hook to the body, left hook to the head, just a nasty combination. Really, really hurt him. And then there was probably, I don't know, flurries of shots, multiple shots for the knockdown. Second knockdown was basically, from the flurry of shots, TKO stoppage. First time Gonzalez was stopped. And shit, even through eight rounds, it was already 251 to 127 when we talk about punch rate and stuff like that. So, another thing, Stanonius basically just took care of business. It was really about getting back. He had been out of the ring so far, or so long, I should say. There was some rounds, you could give him maybe between 2 to 3 rounds or something like that, I'd say safely. 1 to 3, maybe you could say, for Maestre. But I thought Stanonius, he did his thing. It's like I said, he had that appendix. Then Virgil Ortiz got, his issue. And so he's just been out of the ring, man. He's been stymied. So I thought he looked about as good as he's going to look. Now he didn't get the knockout or whatever, but I thought that he handled business. I mean, that's what it was all about, just handling business and moving on from there. And now It does appear that he is a free agent, so where will he go? If he wants to stay on the PBC side of things, you did have Mario Barrios fighting Maidana's brother. And speaking of that fight, Barrios, basically was sticking to the jab very early. He was pretty patient. Maidana landed like some good shots, especially in the first round, like late. He landed a couple flush shots, but pretty slow start to this fight. Maidana had the short flurry to close. Could that have slowed the second round? I mean, maybe, possibly. And then the third round, that was a pretty effective round. I mean, he shot, I think it was it a right hand? I think it was a jab right hand, and it landed right on the temple, knocked him down, probably like a minute into the round. Followed up, with some pretty good shots. But, in the second half of that round, Maidana, he was firing back, dude. He was showing a lot of heart. Go figure. Maidana showing heart. Enough so I gave him the fourth round. He landed the better shots, these little quick combinations, left hooks especially. It was a close round though. Barrios landed a few good ones. He landed a jab and had some body, shots in there. But I actually gave that to Maidana. But then after that, it was pretty much all Barrios. If I'm looking at my scorecard right now, basically jab, body work, and Barrios though did have a pretty badly swollen eye. So there's these little spots of two-way moments, but overall, like in the eighth round, I'm looking at my scorecard. The last minute, there were some really good exchanges. And by that time, his eye was getting really bad, but he was able to make it through. I think all of them were 116, 112. I scored at 9-3, I believe. Yeah, 9-3. So, I would say that would be a fight that he could, that he could have. Stanonios and Barrios. I think that's a good fight. I guess you could say, wait, was that was the interim, right? WBC that Barrios won? I think. I get confused sometimes. I know Stanonios has the WBA, right, straight up. Damian Vasquez did get upset by Romero. I saw like highlights of that. And then Julian Bridges pulled an upset as well over Jabin Cholet or whatever. I just saw a quick little highlight of it. I didn't see the actual fight. And then Figueroa, not much. I don't know. He did his thing. Let's just put it that way. He did his thing. Magdaniello was in there. He was in there. He was in the fight. He was in the fight. I don't want to take a bunch away from it. This is kind of in the moment where some people, some new people were kind of arriving. So I'm looking at it now. I was like, that's right. I didn't score it. But up until, the stoppage, I thought Magdaniello, was doing pretty damn good. I mean, what were the scorecards gonna? They had to be close. I didn't actually check them. So 78, 74, 77, 75, and 77, 75. Yeah, so that lines up. I mean, Figueroa was in a good fight. Magdaniello, he's now been stopped twice, but he did go the distance with Ford. I think the other time he had been stopped was probably Dog Bay, right? I think that's who it is. He had that great performance years ago against Donaire and Perez, and picked up some nice wins, at times. But these last two, I thought, don't get me wrong, Foreman, Ford, he dropped him like mid and late in that round. That was a cleaner win, I'll say that. Just because Figueroa, got the stoppage, I did think, and that was that. Hold on. Was that for a? That was for an interim as well. So a lot of interims on the line. But yeah, Figueroa looked pretty good. The fight was probably a little bit more competitive than I thought it would be. And I've heard a variety of fights that he might be, might or may not be taking part of. Maybe Ray Vargas pops back up. I don't know. I'm not really sure, but it does appear Fulton now is at 126, so the rematch with him would be really good. And there's plenty of talent at that division, whether it's PBC or just in general. It's, jam-packed with some solid fire. Excuse me, I had to get that water in. But yeah, I think Stanonius and Barrios would be a good fight. I would favor Stanonius, but I think that's a good fight. And I think they could make that fairly easily. But you never know, maybe Matchroom or somebody else would sign him up. Maybe they would, that would be later this year. Him and Ennis, assuming Ennis gets by Crawley, who actually they made that official. He's going to fight in Philly, so that's good for him. That's really good for him. So all in all, like I said, a couple of these fights maybe were a little bit more competitive. Well, one of them I'd say was more competitive than I thought, the Figueroa Magdaniello. It was okay. It was okay. In the main event, I thought Munguia fought better than I expected, to be honest with you, or right around my expectations. Like I said, 9-3, 8-4. I never really thought Munguia had a chance to full on win. He landed some good shots early, don't get me wrong, but heading into it, I just thought he was a little bit, I think it closed in some places at like plus 310, and it had been at least some places at it plus 400 and above. Some were kind of skating in the 300s, but I hit the over and I hit Canelo by decision. I didn't end up making any other bets. I was going to bet Canelo knockout, but I couldn't bring myself to it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Now Inoue and Nery. Now this was awesome, right? Because you figured Nery would bring it, and he did. Obviously, not even just in the first round, but the first round. Once again, Inoue, first time in down in his career. We got a bunch of them this last weekend. There was a left, I think it was a left hook at the 120 mark, around the 120 mark, left hook. That really like shot when you're watching this, you're like, oh shit, I had kind of waited. I didn't stay up or get up early. But anyway, had landed a couple of good shots before that. And there was Nery was flurrying, the last minute or so in that round. So that first round ended, you're like, okay, dude, we got ourselves a fight, Nery at times he's just inconsistent. There's times where you're like, dude, this dude is awesome and he's so fun to watch. And other times you're like, eh, not as good as performance and obviously some other stuff. As far as, popping on tests and stuff like that. But then it didn't take long though. Inoue came out jabbing really well, little step back left hooks left and right, and that's exactly what happened. A step back, a left hook knocked him down, and it was like the last part of probably a little under a minute or something of that second round. So it's a 10-8 round, what rounds one and round two. And pretty much after that, Inoue handled it, man. The jab, the 1-2s, either a lead right or just 1-2s, flush right hand late in the third round. But just bringing that steady, solid, sturdy jab. And like I said, either countering with the right or leading with the right. And at times, even in the fourth round, he started showboating. Nery would land some body shots here and there, no doubt about it. In the fifth round, back-to-back right hands, It was starting to get nasty, dude. It was starting to get nasty. That was a 10-8 round. I think it was it a short left hook, knocked him down, late in the round, and then, Inoue opened it up, combos, hard right hand, and just a nasty, nasty right hand. Drops him, stops him, and it was a wrap. I mean, it was a great performance. Inoue, like I said, he's been here doing what he's been doing for a long time, right? And I think sometimes some American fans can get a little caught up in, well, he's not doing it here, or we don't know the people he's fighting, and that's why the Fulton thing was such a big deal for Americans, right? And it was a big deal in general, it appeared he was the best 122 pounder. So, I don't know. And we're so used to having the best fighter or one of the best, a bunch of the best fighters. I think it just kind of ingrained in a lot of American fans. But when you, my thing is, when it's like trainers and managers, and when your trainer's saying stuff like, well, he's not fighting in America, or, even like a media member, Fight Hub, Marcos is like, oh yeah, but he's not fighting here. It's like, dude, they just did like a $20 million gate in Japan, dude. Some huge ass gate. And he does like $10 million gates more than one in Japan. So he's printing cash over there, dude. And the dude has it all. He's got the twitch. He fights in a very American style, the dude has so much power. He can adjust quickly. There's times in his career, sure, where it's looked like, man, if so and so hit him, it'd be a different story. But then he tightens up. I mean, it's just the guy is a phenomenal fighter, explosive, lightning quick reflexes. This dude is a stud, man. That's just he's just overwhelming, dude. And you can argue all day Crawford or him or whatever, but he's been doing it for a long, long time. So now, just because he beat Neary, is that enough to put crown him as the best fighter of all time? No, it's not that. It's just when I hear stuff like, oh, wait till he got on VADA, or he hasn't fought here. Dude's fought here three times. I think it's been three or four. It's like two or three. I'll say two or three. I don't know. I think it's just the way, like, he's fought solid competition for a long time. And just because it's not an Errol Spence or some sort of just big name as well, maybe that's hurt him. I don't know. I mean, Crawford for a while was fighting just pretty good fighters, and then he started to step up the competition, even with lineal championships that he's had, So I don't know. I just, this is part of the reason why I don't get into the pound for pound thing a lot. One, when I do a top 10, it always is like 14 deep, where I think you can make arguments for. I do usually chime in on who's number one. It's close, man. I'm fine with a tie, but this guy anyway is just doing his freaking thing, man. He is masterful. Like I said, he's explosive, lightning fast. I mean, this guy is on a different level. And right now, him and there's multiple fighters that have separated themselves, but right now, Inoue and Crawford have really separated themselves. It's really fun to watch this dude, man. Inoue beat Ishida. That was a distance fight. Pretty much, I think I scored it 9-3 or something like that, 10-2. Pretty clean win there. Akui, I think it is. He had a pretty, I would say that was very similar. Like, in that realm. Maloney, though, is it Takiya? Now that was a good performance there, because I didn't know who was going to win that fight, but the way that Yoshiki, I think it is, Takiya, is that what it is? Takiya? That dude beat Maloney, and he beat him really clean, dude. I mean, that was a very impressive outing. I liked what I saw there. I liked what I saw of that kid. That dude, I think, what was that, his eighth or ninth fight? I think it was like his ninth fight. That's what it really does it for me too. It's like, that's why I was kind of in between. I'm like, man, I just don't know who's gonna win this, because the kid's young, and Maloney, I mean, he's been around for a while now. He's been in a lot of good fights over the years. He's fought a lot of talent, no doubt. But yeah, that was the upset for me. Not that I didn't think dude had a chance to win or something, and it's a major upset. It's just, I didn't, I sometimes with some guys, you still got to see it. And I think that's where, I kind of just had to make sure, I had to kind of see the guy. And man, yeah. Like on tape, he'd already showed a lot, don't get me wrong. But man, that guy took care. Oops. I just hit, I totally hit something and it slipped my mic. Sorry about that. All right. I was trying to grab for something. When you like pick a scab because it itches and you're not really thinking, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm bleeding. What the hell? That's what I just did. So sorry about that. Hopefully my mic's okay here. Yeah, it looks like cool. Yeah, it looks like Sam Goodman will be next for anyway. And I think hanging around, at this weight class is actually pretty smart, rather than just, oh, I'm coming up. All right, I'm just going to leave the division right away, I actually think that's really smart. I think it's really smart because, shit, he hasn't even technically been here at this division a year yet, right? Yeah, because that Fulton was his first fight at 122. So, he's got maybe a fight or two left, and then he'll be on to bigger and better things. And there's some, what I deem anyway, what many people deem, some really interesting, interesting fights at 126. 126, who's the dominant guy at 126? I think that's pretty much up for debate. You know what I mean? I don't think it's, I think it's got to be sorted out, right? And a lot of people want to bring him up, so quickly to fight so and so, and obviously the big one is Tank at 130. And before long, I don't know if Tank will be able to make 130 at some point, but that's one of those matchups that, like, some people will be like, oh, I don't want to see that. The second they announce it, people would be losing their shit, dude. They'd be losing their shit. I mean, there's just no way around it, So, but that's just so far off. You know what I mean? It's just so far off. And so Fulton's going to go to 126. He's actually taking on Nunez. And I think he's on the Tank undercard. Now that I think about it, I was hoping he would be fighting Minneapolis, because he did fight a top five fighter in Minneapolis a couple years back. So I was hearing Aleem. I was hearing a couple different names actually, but it sounds like Fulton's going up. So yeah, it sounds like Goodman, though, speaking of, looks like he's going to fight Sam Goodman. That's what everybody's saying. And they're talking about maybe it's in Australia, I heard. But I don't know. I mean, he got a win. I think he the Donahue was his first Donahue, that was his first fairly big win, right? Then Aleem. I remember he took care of Aleem, obviously. That was a big win for him. And he fought an unbeaten, was it Zong or something like that? Actually, let me check. So, I mean, 18 and 0, solid fighter. Keeps him active. So I like that. But yeah, 126, even a Ruben Villa is damn good. If Raymond Ford, I don't know, this is probably his last fight there. But then who knows? You never know. Obviously, Figueroa. You have Espinoza as well, who pulled that upset. Ray Vargas, like I mentioned, Lee Wood, Alberto Lopez, Nick Ball, right? Technically, Robisi's still there. So yeah, I mean, be interesting to see how that plays out. Really interesting. Anyway, there is a card tonight with the Pro Box TV. The Pro Box has been pretty steady overall. Lipinets and Davies. It's on tonight. I think Terrence Williams is also on that card. Let me see here. Yeah, Terrence Williams against Jonathan Sosa. That's a six rounder. Mercado is fighting as well. In fact, he's fighting. He's a pretty big underdog, obviously. He's fighting that. I can't pronounce that dude's name. Desembaton or so. I can't remember that. How to say that guy's name, to be honest. I'm just being honest. Okay. So, it's one of those things that I just think, it's worth watching, It's kind of like a Friday Night Fights vibe to it. Sometimes they'll have full on, I don't know if I call it show box, but on the way, like an undefeated, they don't have too many undefeated against undefeated prospects left and right like Showbox did. But I don't know. It's kind of a mix between that. A lot of people say Tuesday Night Fights on USA. And then Friday Night Fights, like the last chunk of years on Friday Night Fights, is what I would say too. So yeah, I mean, there is a lot of action coming on, Actually, Tilapia is fighting too. Topalis, I mean, it's Tilapia. Topalis is fighting this weekend as well. And then, the big name, Vasiliy Lomachenko. Denzel Bentley's fighting Danny Dingham. That could be a good fight. I mean, I like Bentley in the fight, but I think that's a pretty interesting fight. And also Romero and Hernandez. Erica Cruz Hernandez and Nazarian, or something like that, Romero. Let me check the odds. I bet you that's close. Or relatively close. Yeah, Romero +200, +210. And another thing with, like, okay, let's talk about, the other fight, right? Or the fight, Kambosos Lomachenko. And also Maloney, the other brother, Andrew Maloney and Pedro Guavar, that's a good fight. I got to check the odds on that in just a second. But that should be that's probably the closest fight on paper. But, no disrespect to Kambosos, right? He lost Devin Haney twice, clear as day. The Teofimo Lopez, he pulled off. If you look at, some of the performance that the two fights, Mickey Bay and Selby, right before it, both, via split decision, it didn't look like he was going to be able to do what he did against Teofimo. Now, some of that is Teofimo fighting, very arrogantly, right? Not taking Kambosos serious at all the way he fought. And, whether his condition that he had that night really affected him or not, it's tough to say. You know what I mean? It could be 100%, a crazy reason why, but to me, it just fuck really, really ignorantly that fight Teofimo, and I'm not trying to take any away from Campos, like I said, but even Maxie Hughes. I mean, I thought Maxie Hughes. I think you could make an argument that Maxie Hughes won that fight last summer. It was like July or something, June. You know, that was a close fight, dude. That was a close fight. So, I don't know if it's the odds thing with you know, Lomachenko being a fairly big favorite. I see him plus 460, plus 450, plus 425 is the lowest I see. The highest being plus 475. I'm not sure, by the way, that Maloney Guavar or Guavar Pedro, plus 186, plus 195, plus 175. Yeah, that is by far the closest one on odds on the weekend, as far as it being a big fight. Yeah, that's a really good fight. I kind of wanna. I don't know. Dude's never been stopped. He not his last time out, but the one before it. I think it closed the year, last year, like November, December, against Carlos Quadros. That was a good ass fight, dude. That was a fun fight to watch. And it was a split decision. So, I mean, it was a good fight, man. He's a legit fighter. Maloney been there, done that. Like I said, he's only been stopped once. And shit, it came against Nakatani. So, I mean, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? Like, are you really gonna make a big deal about that? I did hear people saying, "What's his best win?" And that's fair, you know, because the Franco fight, you know, those are good fights. Maybe Miguel Gonzalez, Luis Concepcion's a good win. Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now, and I don't know. I think it's worth to throw something on. I haven't done it yet, so I just found out the odds. But I think it's worth putting some out there on Pedro. But I don't know, man. I am gonna pick Maloney by decision, though. I think he will end up winning it, but I don't know, man. It's like, I think this is a damn good fight, and I'll definitely be tuned into it as you should, and we'll break it down round by round because I think it will be very good. I think those odds are really, you know, they match up with what kind of fight it is. I just think experience at a higher level, I think that pretty much talks me into Maloney winning, but it's a pretty good fight, man. It's a pretty good fight. Anytime you can be plus 200 and down, I think, you know, that's pretty good in boxing. Now on to the main event. Like I said, I just don't see the path to victory. Now we know in certain fights, Loma, you know, downloads, right? The Matrix is downloading. Let him download and then he'll figure it out. He usually only does that against the high level guys, you know? And I think that can definitely, like, if you look at the way he fought against Teo, and if you look at how he fought against Haney, I don't know, man. I think that can be brought up as a, hey, dude, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, why give away so many damn rounds? And then if you're not giving them away, then I gotta dock you as an elite fighter then, you know? But he's not facing an elite fighter this time around. And like I said, I have all the respect in the world for Kambosos. You know, what he should be a motivational speaker. Because he's always ready to come back, and I'm new, I'm brand new, I got a new attitude, you know, in this sport, like I always say, what have you done for me lately, right? That's what it is. I just, had we have seen this major slippage last year against Haney, then yeah, Now, I scored her for Haney. I would have been fine with a draw. I didn't really see seven rounds for Lomachenko, but I thought it should have been a rematch. I'll say that. It was a damn good fight. But if Lomachenko would have showed up earlier, he could have won the damn thing. So, but back to it, I just don't think, I think it, it should be anywhere from plus 400 to plus 500 easy. Like, I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't think Kambosos applies the type of pressure. I don't think the foot speed, the angles, that just, I'm not saying he can't win rounds, but I just don't get this little vibe of, he's going to pull the upset. Yeah, this is going to happen. I just, and he, I don't think he made, let's see. So he made a mistake. He made a mistake, or he just couldn't get out of first gear for a while until he was like desperate, like, I got to start winning rounds against those two fighters, right? But, so that was a mental mistake, right? But I don't see him. And like I said, maybe it wasn't a mistake. Maybe he just couldn't do it and then was like, needed to be, I don't know. Obviously, he could do it because if he just moved his hands more. But long story short, it's like, I just don't see Loma fighting the way Teo did with no respect at all. Just don't see it. I just think his footwork is too good. His hand speed is too good. He's too accurate. He loads up with his shots, or he doesn't load up with the shots. He'll put his shots together, sometimes load up and land a really big shot. But overall, he's just going to be there constantly. And I just don't think Kambosos can keep up with him. Now, could he get some good counters in? Maybe if he has too much success early, Loma goes a little bit overboard and stays too close to him. A lot of times he's really close to his, opponent, but he's using the angles. And yeah, I mean, I guess, it has been a little while since he's been out of the ring. No doubt. It's been, right around a year, like I mentioned. And I guess you could say, since 2020, he hasn't been the most active guy. He fought once in 2022, fought once last year. Fought twice in 2021. So I mean, I guess there's an argument there to be had. But I don't know. I just think he's gonna beat him. I really do. And I don't think he's gonna get knocked out, Kambosos. I think he can make it. I definitely do. But I like Lomachenko by a clean decision, at least. Like, I don't even see four rounds, to be honest. I don't. If Kambosos, if it's 8-4, I'll give Kambosos a lot of credit. Maybe I'm being too hard on him. Maybe there's just something I'm not seeing. Maybe I'm taking it too lightly, right? And Kambosos can do stuff like counter and use his jab and blah blah blah. But I don't see it. I just don't see it. I just don't see how. I guess. Well, it is in Australia, isn't it? So, I guess you could make an argument that maybe he will be 8-4, but yeah, I just think Loma's gonna win. I don't think there's a whole lot to it. I got one Loma winning. And let's see. I think that Katyev or whatever's he's in action. He's a prospect. Makes sense that he'd be in action over there. He's taking on Bulatics or Richards. That dude's a pretty good fighter. This is a good fight for him. It's not bad considering where he's at. But yeah, I think I'm just gonna kind of leave it right there. So I got Lomachenko by decision. I got Maloney by decision. But I don't know. I think there's some interesting stuff here. And just in general, let Inoue go up in weight how he wants to go up in weight. Okay, let's not go crazy. I did get plenty of messages saying, so do I think Berlanga's next? I actually do think Berlanga's next. Canelo keeps talking about the money has to be right with Benavidez, but I get negotiation tactics, right? I totally get it. And why not aim high? But if he's like sticking to even 150 million up front, I mean, come on, dude. Like that's ridiculous. And he must be serious about it in some sense, because I mean, Turkey from Saudi's like, dude, I'm trying to make the Crawford fight, So it's like he's not even looking at that fight, it appears. So I don't know, man. I just think that, Mayweather got 100 mil up front to fight Pacquiao and to fight McGregor. We know both of those did well over 4 million in pay-per-views. There's no fucking way. Like, it would be overachieving to make 2 million or to buy, have two million buys. I don't think they could get there. I'm just saying, even 2 million wouldn't pay you 100 million up front. But he has gotten a lot of sizable guarantees. So he's probably like, well, that's a tough fight. How about you double it? But the 150, 200 million, that's just, that's just way over the top. Okay. Like I mentioned before the Armory fight, we now have a date, June 22nd at the Armory here in Minneapolis. So, let's see what they put on there. There was a purse bid not long ago for a lighter weight fight. I believe that'll be on there, but we'll see. We'll see. And then I just got a message that I'm just checking my messages right now. Stanonius, Barrios, and that's Las Vegas. Yeah, I agree. I think that'd be a good fight if Stanonius, maybe he wants to go after Ennis or somebody else. I don't know. Probably not going to go after Virgil, right? Because Virgil's at a different weight class anyway now, but. Okay, so this Ryan Garcia stuff, okay? Here's the thing. When his first thing's like, everybody knows that I wouldn't cheat. Everybody knows I don't cheat. It's like, dude, nobody knows that. They're not nobody. The vast majority of the people on this earth don't know you, dude. So that doesn't do it. And I haven't really heard too many times where an athlete, no matter what sport, take boxing out of it, is like, yeah, I did it right away, There was that, was it Braun from Milwaukee who got off on like a technicality because the testing was like didn't leave the facility or was like in a refrigerator or something and didn't make it on time, and it is like a deadline thing that helped him out, but seemed like he was guilty, obviously, but if you look at Alicia Baumgartner, right, and if you look at the tweets from Ryan Garcia on that scenario, it's like, well, dude, my thing is, it's like the woe is me because now I'm an activist. So now they're after me. The system, the elites are after me. It's like, dude, you haven't done shit for that, dude. And I'm not acting like I'm a Black Panther activist either. You know what I mean? I haven't put my life on the line either. But I've done some activism and protests and all that for the last 20 years, but that's not, I'm still wouldn't put anywhere near the level of that. But, to all of a sudden be like, well, I took a picture with Trump, so that's why they're getting me. What are you talking about, dude? Like, that's just so silly. And to put up a bunch of different tests, look at these four tests, negative. And then all of a sudden, it's like, dude, why don't you just say, hey, I don't know what the hell happened here. I'm getting a team together. I'm going over all my supplements. Something, this has to be explained somehow. I know I didn't cheat, and I'm going to prove it to you, right? But instead, you go the other way. And one of the first things he said was basically, if they knew I was positive, why'd they let me fight? Dude, it's not a pregnancy test. You don't just pee on it. And it tells you the results. That's not how it works, dude. And that's the thing I've always said about VADA, the combination of VADA and because a lot of people down USADA, right? But the combination of VADA and the WBC, there's just going to be some issues there. right? So it's not necessarily like, could you say something about Vada, like the way they collected samples from Brandon Rios, or yeah, definitely, in levels, the level of this drug that you can get away with compared to the levels of it for the USADA, you can make differences, but Vada doesn't even have a lab, right? It's under the water rules, and they collect the sample, get it tested, and say, hey, this is what we found. And then the WBC, it never really rang true for me, and it's better than what was in place. It's better than just the commission tests, I'll say that, no doubt. But if you talk to enough people, they say that you got to make a pretty big mistake or just be kind of plumb dumb to fail these tests, Unless you're 24/7 year round, which all this stuff costs money. Who's going to pay for all this stuff? And let's the vast, like the majority of fights don't have drug testing in the world, I'm saying. Like the average everyday, like VADA testing or USADA or whatever, right? So, I just don't like his angle, to be honest with you. I think it's really like, dude, conspiracy, man. Like, the government doesn't want to kill you, bro. Like, calm down, dude. You're not that guy, okay? Now, you're the guy in the ring and all that. I'm not saying that. Hey, that was a big win. But now, it just to say how'd they let me go, when they knew, and to hear fighters and other people say that, it's like, dude, what? Like, can't you learn a little bit more before you go online and say some shit? But that's what makes it seem guilty, to be honest with you. That's what seem makes it feel like he's guilty because he's coming up with all this dumb shit. But either way, May 22nd. Okay, so originally there was two failed drug tests, right? For the Ostra, what is it? Ostrine, I try Ostrine or whatever. I can't remember what the fuck it is. But and then there was like a potential. It wasn't an actual for sure 100% failed drug test, but there was another one that they were, it was kind of in limbo. That one now has been ruled that he's good to go on that one. So now it's these two tests, right? But can we have a debate about levels? Yes, you can. In how it benefits or doesn't benefit, or this is weight loss, or is it going to help you? Whatever, how's it going to help you? A lot of people think they're experts. There are some experts out there. You wouldn't do this, you wouldn't do that. Okay, so what's it doing in the system? There's a lot of boxers that do get tested. And now, like I said, I just got done saying majority of fights don't. We're talking about VADA. They don't, but because it costs. But there's like on any given card, there are plenty of fights that do. And that's been ramped up in the last several years, that's for sure. But it's just like, it's in there for some reason. And we've seen a variety of reasons that, make sense, But the thing about this drug in levels, you can't have any of it in your system. So could you debate and talk about, okay, well, more than likely that's from a supplement or this or that. Sure. Or the levels, it didn't do anything anyway. Really didn't do much. It only helped them weight cut, and people don't use that anymore, and that's an old whatever, right? There's all sorts of debates. But the point is, there's no levels on this. Okay? There's no levels. So any amount of it is in there. It's in there. So, like I said, you could have a debate for the future. Either way, the New York Athletic Commission, more than likely is going to have a hearing, and then they'll have a decision to make. My guess is, this is my guess, and May, like I said, May 22nd is the B sample results. Okay. So I think some of the stuff he's doing, is right as far as him saying with the B sample, this, that, and the other. And you can say, hey, man, I'm innocent. I don't know how that got in there, but I just think you gotta prove it more, So I haven't been a big fan of how he's handling it, but then again, come on, it's Ryan Garcia. So what are you going to do? According to Turkey, he said Malik Zinad, who I've seen fight before more than once, he is now confirmed for the replacement fight for Dmitry Bivol. And he said this will be a separate event from the 5 for 5, but it will be included on the same pay-per-view ticket purchase for 5 for 5. Separate event? Ticket purchased? Are they going to have it someplace else then? Is that what he's saying? And then it's just going to be part of the pay-per-view? Either way, I saw this today. Kenneth Smith Jr. has signed with Golden Boy. He is, it says it in the press release here, number one ranked WBA ranked super lightweight. So at 140, that makes sense for them to sign 140 pounders. He's a solid 140 pounder. I like that. Okay, so here's Ryan Garcia. A billionth of a gram found in my system, bro. You can't make this up. The person resigned, right? The head of the New York State Athletic Commission is resigning, right? Everybody backtracking now. Stop messing with me, damn. Defamation, lawsuits, all the fake ass reporters, Dan Raphael. And then everyone else who tried to claim I cheated suck a huge one to the point you explode. What the fuck? Yeah, and there, I should address that. So I think it's Sumbler. So there's a unboxing scene. So she's resigning, and it says, as the Garcia fate awaits, right? But in the article, it's kind of clickbait in a sense that the but in the article she says, it may sound like a surprise, but this is something she's been planning on retiring for a while. There's even a quote the past few months to help tend to her elderly parents, spend time with their husband. So once again, the world's not against you, Ryan Garcia. And maybe, just maybe, I mean, maybe the B sample will be positive for you. Maybe you can just say, hey, we found this in my supplement. This explains it, But I don't know. They're just, like I said, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of that, how he's been handling it. But, whatever. It is what it is. Oh, by the way, Charlo was recently arrested. Okay. And so, and actually, he also had in mid-April, and this is Jake Donovan saying, flying under the radar was a separate arrest from mid-April. Charlo was charged with an injury to a child with intentions to cause bodily harm, third-degree felony. Now, what actually comes from this, I don't know, but Charlo recently was arrested, arrest overall, but just arrested on fleeing a scene and in a variety of stuff. Basically, this is Mail Online and TMZ. He's bailed out right now. He's out on bail. But it says in the report, charged with driving while intoxicated, fleeing a police officer, and leaving a scene of a crash. So it sounds like he ignored the sirens until they boxed him in at a red light, and he was drunk. So the WBC has finally now stripped him. And so officially, Carlos Adamas is the WBC middleweight champ. Should have been done a while ago, finally. Hopefully he gets a fight here. And then we already kind of knew about Stevenson fight, the Artrim. But Foster and Conseco, that's a pretty good fight. Keyshawn Davis is on the card and Abdullah Mason's on the card. That is July, is it 6th, I believe, July 6th. So that's kind of interesting. I like the co-feature. I think the co-feature is really good. But yeah, this is Ryan Garcia, about a year and a half ago. No mercy on cheating in sports. If you cheated, you're weak. Even if you end up still competing and did win, how can you be happy with that and proud? Disgrace. Unbelievable what's going on in the UK. I mean, he has other tweets. I did notice Conte, over the years, when someone that's, on his sponsorship, right, the snack and all that, when they get busted, then it's like, nope, it's this, it's that. What the hell? These are easily figured out. Even like the Luis Ortiz, I remember him making a big deal. Like, this is obviously that. And, it's like, no, you should still go through the same process, dude. I heard that Danny Garcia, on his own promotional company, Swift Promotion, has a card in Atlantic City, excuse me, June 15th. So that's kind of interesting. We'll see what's on that card. This is J Bro. Lester Martinez in his biggest, most dangerous step up as of yet against Carlos Gongora. This will be his introduction to the rest of the division. So that's MGM Maryland, June 28th, Friday. That is a good fight. I like that fight. That's a really good fight. Oh, Heather Hardy actually sounds like this is what she said. Full story on IG, but the long and short of it was I chose between my brain and my fight. So I'm blessed to be alive, but gutted. She basically was not feeling great. She doesn't want to take a big risk like that, which is obvious. And then, she's doing good now. So she's gonna retire, it sounds like. Yeah, Bradley after the fight, or no, I think it was before the fight. Inoue is on the level of Sugar Ray Leonard and Roy Jones, but don't get it twisted. He's not an all-time great. It's like, well, don't put him in that category, I don't know. But I will say this, and actually, I just saw this message here. Maloney, I did forget to mention this. Maloney, like, that 12th round was crazy. And I wish I would have freaking scored the fight. There's a couple fights that I didn't score. I was distracted, but watching it type thing. And I did forget to mention that. I'm glad someone messaged me that. Yeah, dude. He was very close to winning by stoppage in that fight. And I did forget to mention that. That is a great point. That's a great point. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Mayweather and stuff like that, whether or not, or whether, he owes people money or they paid him for something and he didn't do it. And, or the new one is someone on his team did something. And Floyd offered to pay for it, but that's not good enough. So until this gets resolved, I don't know. But then they say he was at a basketball game in the States. I don't know. It's weird. But either way, it says May 15th, he's got a big announcement. And people are saying he's going to fight Gervonta. It's like, oh, dude, that's not going to happen. Canelo Munguia was 15,000. Very, very strong gate, too. Don't have the final gate, but it was a hefty ass gate. More than likely, 18, 19, 20 million, maybe a little over 20 million. Definitely. Deuce, I'm not mad at Canelo and Munguia fight in isolation. I just lived through last years of being told that Benavidez has to do X, Y, and Z in order to be worthy of deserving an opportunity to fight with Canelo. Benavidez went and did all that shit, so I apologize if I seem confused. He did that earlier in the year, and that's a good point. That's a good point. So here, this is Coppinger saying better be able to undergo knee surgery and will be sidelined until at least September. So hopefully they can get that thing going on in December, but man, Jake Donovan, a busy week in unboxing at the highest levels begins with a minor, though expected upset as Nishida dethroned IBF bantamweight titleist Emmanuel Rodriguez. That's right. Forgot to mention that one too. That was yeah, I totally forgot to mention that. Sounds like Lamont Roach is back June 18th on Friday on Pro Box. So that's good. I like watching him. He's a good fighter. Starting to get well there. I'm gonna save this here. This is from SportsCenter, Devin Garcia after or Devin Garcia, Devin Haney talking about Garcia on SportsCenter. He said, I can't really say that. Asked if you were suspicious of finding out about the positive drug test. He said, I can't really say that. It was a tough fight, obviously. I'm a special kind of fighter, so I never fought and guy's been that much better than me. I never fought that a guy's been that much better than me. I've never been overmatched like that. I've been in there with the best fighters in the world. I feel like something was up, but I didn't want to make excuses. Boxing is a brutal sport. I could have lost my life in the ring when a guy is taking PEDs. It's dangerous. And it also, I forgot to mention this, Espinoza is now officially has a full-on role with the PBC, by the way, because I know he was saying nothing's official. Now it is official. Bazanine. Oh, that's right. Bazanine had that draw. I think it was a split draw, wasn't it? With Finn? Finn, I think it was. Yeah, that was a good fight. I didn't expect that to be a good fight, but that was a good fight. So Canelo, Oscar and Canelo were going back and forth, which actually spiced it up a little bit. But he's basically Oscar saying, hey, we built you. Don't forget that. You ain't shit without us, basically. And Canelo said, a bunch of shit and saying, you didn't pay fighters and this and that. And Golden Boy, Oscar was saying, I'm going to sue him, But Canelo said what he said. This is Gregory M. Smith. That's his lawyer, Canelo's lawyer. Alvarez audited Golden Boy's payment and found that he was owed money. Golovkin audited Golden Boy and found that he had been underpaid. So, oh, by the way, the Mike Tyson shit, right? The Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. It says no steroids checks. What? 8 2-minute rounds, 14-ounce gloves, no headgear, but 14-ounce gloves. So that's a little bit better. By the way, Boots is back July 13th. Cody Crawley at the Wells Fargo Arena, the big one, because remember Eddie Hearn won that. Well, he signed him, but then won that purse bid. I think he almost paid $4 million. I think it was 3.8 or 3.9. This is truth over narrative in the new undisputed super middleweight champion. Someone actually messaged this to me. I said, "Yeah, it's true. Munguia is the WB silverweight." Belt champion at 168. So that's accurate because he was saying, and the new that like Munguia was going to win. That was a funny one, a little late there. And then I got this message, basically what you saw Garcia messaging, or not messaging, but putting out there. All four tests conducted leading to the fight are negative. February 26th, and then March 8th, March 15th, and March. The thing is, it's like, okay, great. Oh, by the way, three times and scored knocked out all three times. Anyways, fought here on HBO once in LA, two in Las Vegas on ESPN Plus, according to J-Bro. So when I said two or three, yeah. So there you go. He knocked him out every time. But yeah, Kenny Ellis, talking about, oh, he's on steroids and this and that. And all those knockouts would stop if he went under Vada or USADA. It's just silly, dude. It's really silly. Yeah, because Carlos Adames, actually, I remember this. He said, your promoter apparently does not have any interest in the fight. I'm asking why. I'm asking my promoter daily to make the fight happen. I hope everyone is seeing your tweets. Don't see you run in the ring. He's basically trying to get Roshanna back. He's trying to get in there. I think that's about. Oh, one more. This is Eddie Hearn talking about the Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney. I spoke to Devin last night. He's absolutely furious. The guy came in 3 pounds overweight and had PEDs in the system. He will want an immediate, contest, regardless of Ryan's innocence or guilt. He had PEDs in his system, and he came 3 pounds overweight. That the 3 pounds overweight doesn't mean shit, though. As far as if you're Devin, you're thinking, "Fuck me, I've been screwed." Yeah, I mean, for sure, I can see that. If he's tested positive before the fight, why would they let him in the ring? Here we go again. This is Caleb Plant. He tested the day before, and it doesn't immediately come back. And when he said, "Everyone knows I don't cheat," it's like, no, we don't. We don't know that, dude. We don't know you. I don't know. But, all theatrics, a goofy, that's back in April 16th, right? That's what Alicia was tweeting. All theatrics. Now, what's goofy is you tested positive for steroids. That's Ryan Garcia. But yeah, the shit just doesn't randomly get into your system. There has to be a reason. So it is what it is. Like I said, it is what it is. There's no way around it. Here's kind of an interesting fight. Angelo Leo and Luis Alberto Lopez. It sounds like the New Mexico Athletic Commission has approved a proposed August date for a top-ranked world boxing championship card, according to Jorge Hernandez. That's a good fight. I like that fight. That's a banger. I think I'm going to get out of here. Yeah, it is. By the way, I got another message. At featherweight, it's Luis Nunez, who's a good fighter. And he's undefeated. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the fight weekend. We'll definitely be back. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it on our normal time on Tuesday. Peace.